So we left off today. We were just introducing the principle that the Torah lists off several types of damage. The person damages through an animal, the person damages digging a pit, the person damages by lighting a fire. And the Mishnah observed that there seems to be really superfluous cases in the permission. We really could have figured out much of it on our own. And the Torah would have said, Exes Chayev, so we could have extrapolated a little. Exes Chayev, so why is also Chayev? Why is Chayev? He is also Chayev. So the Mishnah went on to explain in very, very detail as to why that particular comparison is just not valid. There are certain reasons, certain characteristics that X has that make it impossible to derive Y from it. Certain characteristics that Y has that make it impossible to derive X from. And basically the Mishnah concludes that it is in fact necessary for each and every case of Mazikin to be listed off individually in Bashas Mishpatim. So Tosfos picked up on the style of the Mishnah, and Tosfos said, wait a second, it appears from the Mishnah that practically speaking, we cannot derive one from another, but at least theoretically we could have. We could have used the Midah Shatan address system. We could have used the different ways of understanding of comparing halachas one to another. We could have used those principles in Drush, Tar Shabbat, and in theory derived one mazik from another. But that's what said, aha, you see from here, that even though we have a principle called Ein Onshin Min Hadin, that we cannot punish somebody, at least a physical bodily punishment, based on a Kal V'Chomer, that's only true when it comes to a punishment of an Onesh Aguf. But paying money in Onesh Mamon, that we can invoke a Kal V'Chomer. That would be fine. We have no qualms, no problems using Kal V'Chomer to, quote-unquote, punish somebody by making them pay money, because that's exactly what the Mishnah is discussing in our Beis and Mepakam. So we were a little bit weary about Tosfos' observation, because we didn't quite see the word Kal V'Chomer mentioned in the Mishnah anywhere. The Mishnah never mentioned the principle of Kal V'Chomer. The Mishnah mentioned the principle of just simply deriving equal level halachas one from another, which we have a different term for that, and that's called the memasinu. So it would appear that perhaps we're equating these different kinds of midah shatar and dreshes, and ain onshim in adin, and ain onshim in memasinu. If and when something qualifies as an onesh aguf, not everything is an onesh aguf, etc. But if something falls into the category of a physical punishment, so then we say, ain onshim min hadin, you can't mete out a physical punishment based on a Kal V'Chomer. You can't mete out a physical punishment based on a memasinu, just because halacha seems to be the same to you. Those are not sufficient grounds to punish somebody. Mominus, everything's different. When it comes to mominus is easy. Mominus, maybe you got to pay a couple of dollars. That's the thing. That's easy. That you can do based on Kal V'Chomer's memasinu, etc. So if we wanted to offer this shot in the Mishnah, that Tosfos is not really talking about Kal V'Chomer. This is not really talking about Kal V'Chomer. It's really talking about the principle of memasinu. It's just a simple comparison. If din X applies, if din Y applies as well, is that true statement or not? Is that also fall under the category of ein onshin min hadin? So we began to explore Gemara in Maseches Nedarim. So we ran out of time on Wednesday. We'll go back to that part of the sugya in Nedarim da Beis. So Gav Gimel da Beis is going to shed some light on this question, which is really a very shas topic. It's no longer Bava Kama Debez anymore. It's a fundamental question in terms of deriving halachas one to another. Is memasinu subject to the limitation called Ein Onshin Min Hadin? Now, we have no idea why it should or should not be. Hopefully that will come in time. But let's first get the what's. Let's first understand what are the facts. What is halacha? Do we have any sources in Chazal for Onshin based on a memasinu? So we introduced the sugya in Maseches Nedarim, where the Gemara told us that there are a whole series of halachas that are flying back and forth between the Nedarim and the Nazirus. Basically, we're equating all the halachas in the Nedarim to the Nazirus, the Nazirus to the Nedarim. And it came out, Gemara tells us that we have a right to compare one to another because both are written in the same pasuk. Lindor, Neder, Naz, still can't get it right. Try. Maybe at a later time of the day, maybe it'll speak a little bit clearer and be able to get it straight. But my tongue is awake already. But the bottom line is, the Torah does compare in the same pasuk the halachas of Nedarim and the halachas of Nazirus for a whole host of applications. One of the rules that we derived was that a person can take a neder, a person can become a nazir, even if they didn't spell out exactly everything. They just started the ball rolling because yadav, they barely started the speech. That's also considered to be included in the passion of Nedarim and Nazirus. Then we had another halacha that a father or a husband has the ability to cancel under certain circumstances both the Nedarim of his wife and the Nazirus of his wife. So those are two of the halachas that the Gemara went back and forth and said, well, if it's true in one, it's true in the other, it's a hekesh, all the same poskim on this. So now let's begin to analyze the Gemara in the fifth of the Marim Kamos. The Gemara begins at Amamah. Umanidarim ha'av meifin idre bito, ubal meifin idre ishto, afnizirus ha'av meifin idrezirus bito, ubal meifin idrezirus ishto. Just as a father can cancel the nidarim of his daughter, just as a husband can cancel the nidarim of his wife, so too in nizirus, the same halacha is true. Yes, the Gemara, lama li hekesha, why do we need a hekesh? Hekesh is when two things appear in the same pasuk. Why do we need a hekesh? Let's simply compare nizirus to nidarim based on the principle of Torah Shabbat Peh called mamatsinu. Mamatsinu again meaning if halacha is true in case X, so then it's probably also true in case Y. Case Y is pretty comparable to case X. So why can't we just simply invoke the principle of a mamatsinu? Why do we have to go down the root of a hekesh? Why does the Torah have to write two things explicitly in the same pasuk? What was wrong with the Mematzino? The Gemara says nothing. Nothing was wrong with the Mematzino except the fact that there's a certain pircha, there's a question, there's a complication. They're not quite equal to one another. And again, we're not learning the Dharma and the Zivas right now, so we're going to leave out the details of why this particular Mematzino fails us. Let's focus more on the Gemara's question. The Gemara said, why do I need a hekesh? Let's use a Mematzino. So come to the Ran on the sixth of the Marim Kamos, and the Ran says, wait a second. Why did the Gemara ask this question? Why did the Gemara pose and frame this question only discussing the ability of a father or a husband to cancel a neder? There are a whole list of other halachas that we were comparing one to another. For example, the halacha of yado, the ability for a neder to take effect with the very, very beginning of a speech. How come the Gemara never asked that question? Asked the Ran in the sixth of the Marim Kamos, had the Akshi Hacha, Gabi Hafara, Velo Akshi Le'el Gabi Yadot Achpircha. Why didn't the Gemara ask the identical question in the Sugya of Yadot? The Gemara should have said, Lamali Hekesh, isn't it a Mematzino? So the Ran says, no. I'll tell you exactly why the Gemara didn't ask that question there. And this is going to be the opening to Bava Kamma. Says the Ran, Mishum the Yadas the Malkus Nami Maislu, the Einon Shimin Adin. Says the Ran, if something is a Yad, what we're basically saying is it's now a Neder. And we're going to hold you responsible for what you said, and we're going to give you Malkus if you violated what you said. So if we institute, if we apply the principle of Yadas, that's tantamount to saying you're going to get a physical bodily punishment. You're going to get Malkus based on the rule of Yadot. As the Ran, we can no longer say, well, it's a Mematzino. What's the problem? What do I need a Hekesh for? It's a Mematzino. Says the Ran, no, wrong. Mematzino, ain't on Shimon Adin. So therefore, the Gemara never asked the question by Yadot, because that would have been an incorrect application of the principle of Mematzino, because it would have been blocked, thwarted by ain't on Shimon Adin. You see, clear as day from this Ran, tucked away in the Dorim, in the sugi that appears to be so far removed, it sounds like it has absolutely nothing to do with Bava Kamma. We're learning about Bava Kamma and Shor and more, and all of a sudden we're learning about the Dorim. Well, it's the same underlying principle, namely, can we use Mamatzinos to give out Onshin? So the answer is, it depends what kind of Onshin it is. If it's the Onish HaGuf, like in the Dorim, then the answer is no. We cannot use Mamatzinos to punish somebody. But when it comes to an onesh mamon in Bava Kamma Dabeis, then the answer is yes. And that's exactly what the Mishnah is talking about. That's exactly why the Mishnah is pilpling back and forth and back and forth. Let's use Mematzinus. We can make you pay money for Mematzinus. We can't punish you. Can't give you Malkus. Can't give you Misa. But onesh of mamon we can give you. So Bava Kamma, we discovered at least the Sugya and Medarim. We discovered that Mematzinus does fall short of giving onshin. Onshin mamon is different than onshekos.
What's gabe yados? What is yados?
Yados are when a person starts the speech, he says hareini and didn't quite finish. Didn't say anything. No, they didn't finish the whole story. That's called yados.
Also, the implication is that hekesh is mamon.
Oh, very good. Actually, we're going to come back to that. Hekesh is better. Hekesh is better. I mean, it's true, and it's obvious not, but it's true. It's, okay. Right. So we're going to talk. We're going to come back to all this. What is kavachol mimatino, etc. So far, we're pretty comfortable in what the rules are. We seem to have. We probably have to change the name of the sugya. We're not really learning Einon Shemin Adin. We're really discussing just a little bit about the Midah Shatar Drashas Lehem. We're trying to understand the applications and limitations of the principle of Mematzinu. And we're pretty comfortable by saying that Onesh HaGuf we can't do with the Memetzinu. Onesh HaMamon, we're pretty comfortable meeting him. However, there's another sugya that throws a little bit of a curveball, a little bit of a monkey wrench into our entire discussion. And that's the sugya on the seventh of the Marmakamos. The Gemara is a little bit of a background to what the sugya is talking about. Again, we're getting a little bit off of Baba Kama, but again, it's the same underlying principles that are important for us. The Gemara here is addressing a principle that's called Ta'am Ki'ikar. Ta'am Ki'ikar means I'm cooking a pot of potato soup. And a piece of chazer falls into the face. Gevalt, grab the chazer out right away. Wait a second, the Mishnah tells them it's not enough simply to remove the piece of chazer. I have to be worried there may be some taste that may have been emitted by the chazer. Now there may be some tam, there may be some taste inside that potato soup. The potato soup may betray because there may be tam, there may be taste of chazer, even though I don't see anything. I took out the be'er, I took out the actual mamashos of the chazer. But the halacha still reckons with the ta'am. So the Mishnah says in Chula that's a problem. The Mishnah says that as long as there's a taste of chazer in that soup, you're not allowed to eat the soup. On a very practical issue, practical level, the Gemara raised the question, how are you ever going to determine whether there's taste in the soup? You can't taste it, because if you taste it, then you may be, it may be us, the HRA. You obviously have to give it to a non-Jew. So the Gemara says you give it to a non-Jew. The technical problem is, how is a non-Jew believed to give you an answer? The non-Jews, now the Mashkiach and the rest of that, he's telling you that, oh, it's okay, so it tastes kosher to me. He's not telling you the truth. That, you know, that's already a whole other question about what level of, what degree of truth can we assume the non-Jew is telling us in terms of what's kashrus. But again, those are really, really tangential to ask. The bottom line is there is a principle called Ta'am Ki'ikar. The only problem is that we're not quite sure where this principle comes from. What is the source for this? Where does it say in the Chumash? The Torah says you can't eat chazir. Chazer means a little animal, oink oink, that's the chazer. Piece of ham, piece of bacon, that's chazer. And potato soup, that somewhere in the molecules of chazer seeps into the potato soup, but as it gives off a little bit of time of chazer, that's called chazer. How do you know? Where does it say that idea in the halacha? So comes the Gemara, the seventh of the Maamar Kamos, and Psachim and Tazah, the Chidasanya, Mishras, Litain Ta'am Ki'ikar, Shim Shara Anavim B'mayim V'yeshbam Ta'am Yayin, Chayav. The Torah says that a nazir is not allowed to eat grapes, and not allowed to drink wine, and he's not allowed to have mishras enough. What does the word mishras shora mean? It means to soak. So says the Torah about that. That phrase, mishras enough, that the Torah refers to, is that a nazir is not allowed to take something, not allowed to eat something, even if he can't really see the wine itself. He's not really drinking wine. He's having something that was soaked in wine. He has something that has a little bit of top of wine in it. That's also considered to be a problem. That's the source for Ta'am Ki'ikar. That's the source, just as the nazir is not allowed to eat something that has even mishras, even a little soaking of grapes in it. So too, I'm not allowed to eat something that has a little bit of soaking, a little bit of taste of chazer in it. The problem is, that's nazir. What happened with me? I'm not a nazir. I want to know about chazer. Says the Gemara, no problem. From here we could derive from nazir to all other areas of Allah. Based on what principle? A nazir is a very low-level prohibition because he's only nazir for 30 days. That doesn't mean nazir forever. The eini sura isur hana'a, and the prohibition of grapes for a nazir is not a prohibition. He's allowed to get benefit from grapes. He's not allowed to eat the grapes. He's not allowed to drink the wine. V'yesh hetali suro. And there's even a way out of his disease. He can go to the basin. He's going to be mapped in that every Hashanah, a couple of days. He'll be mapped in that. He's no longer nazir. So nazir is a very, very low level iser, and still also no tam kikur. The afa pichein, the Torah still says there's a parsha of tam kikur. So kilayim and other iser of the chaz, whatever the case may be, ain't no din shas tam kikur. Kal v'chomer that there's a din of tam kikur. So basically, the Gemara says the source of tam kikur that we have today in kashrus today is an extension of nazir, and it's actually derived as a kal v'chomer from nazir. So that's one possible source for Ta'am Ki'ikar. Then the Gemara continues, down to the end of the third line. Ella, the same Aramah.
So the implication of this
would
be that he wouldn't give the
mouth. Yeah, that's what we're coming to. The Gemara says the end of the third line. Ella, I have another source. The Gemara has some problems with the first one, so I have another source. Ella Yolif, Migi'ule Nachrim. Gi'ule Nachrim, last time of Ya'amu, Bi'al, Tzrachana, Miloshna. The Torah says in Parshas Matos, so when Jews conquered the Midianim and they got all their pots and pans and silverware, so they can't use it right away. They have to kasher it first. So So the Torah says you have to kosher it with libum by putting it into the fire, those things that we use in a fire, things that we use in water, you put in water, all the parasha of kosher and kelim that we're familiar with today, libum and agol, different methods of kosher and kelim, all appear in parashas Matos, what's called Geulei Nochum, all the traits of kelim that the non-Jews they use. So comes the Gemara and says, wait a second, what about the kosher a pot for? The non-Jew cooked chazer in the pot a few hours ago. And I want to use that same pot to cook up my potato soup. What's so terrible? I'm cooking my potato soup. I don't have any chazer. But you think there's a piece of meat that's coming out of the walls of the pot? There's no meat coming out of the walls of the pot. What's coming out of the walls of the pot? Tom, taste. So comes the Gemara and says, you see that the Torah cares about that. You see the Torah doesn't ignore that. The Torah says that you can't eat potato soup that was cooked in a tray for pot. The reason being, because there must be some taste that has been emitted, that's spread, that's now in your potato soup. Oh, just as you can't eat potato soup that was cooked in a tray for pot, you can't cook potato soup in a pot, and if the chaza fell in and you took it out, but there's Tom there. You still have to be concerned with Tom. So comes the Gemara and says, oh, that's the source for the Pasha Tam Sita. So the Gemara has two very, very different sources. Searching or looking for some kind of a source in HaTorah for the principle of Tam Ke'ikar. So one possibility was Nazir, the other possibility was Gilei Nochrim, but notice the nuance of the limud, of the derivation, the difference between the two. In the first case of Nazir, the Gemara invoked the principle of Kal V'Chomer. In the second case, there was no mention of Kal V'Chomer, it was just a simple comparison, simple even level comparison. Does that make any difference? It may make all the difference in the world. So let's take a look at the eighth of the Mamakamos, Aran and Maseches Chum. So the Aran says, okay, so great, we have the Zid of Tam Kikar. Either it's derived from Nazir, or it's derived from Kasher and Kalim. We have a problem, says the Aran. Had the Amr of Yochel, a great passage of Adazara, time of Lama Masho, Osir Ve'en Lokin Alav. Wait a second. The Gemara says, in the end of Maseches of Adazara, that if a person eats food that merely has Tom of Isser in it, he ate the potato soup, which had the taste of the chazah, but not the chazah proper. What he did was another usher. There ain't lokin alav, but there's no punishment that's beaten him. You're not chayav malchus for a violation of Tom Kikar. So the Ran says, why not? What happens? If it's usher in HaTorah, I should be just going to sing him sochem together. It's usher in HaTorah. What happened to malchus? So comes around and says, the afogad, the Tom Kikar, the araisa. Of course, Tom Kikar is the araisa. Don't tell me otherwise. Ran is referring to some Rishonim who may have said otherwise. Some Rishonim as great as Rashi who may have said otherwise. But again, we're not looking at Chulin right now. The Alpha got the Tam Kikar the araisa. In Lokin Alav, there's no Malkus. Why is there no Malkus? I'll tell you why. The Rabbanan the Gamri Lebe Kavachomer the Nazir, according to those opinions that derived it from a Kavachomer, the Ani Sursa Olam, the Israel, we just read that Gemara before. Ain Lokin Allah. You know why there's Ain Lokin Allah at the top of the second page? You know why there's Ain Lokin? For the magic words, to Ain Onshin Din Adin. Says the Ran, this is part of the old story, that you can't give a physical bodily punishment based on a Kavachomer. End of discussion. Now the Ran is walking a tightrope because he has to address now the other source. The other source was Yulei Nochrim, and the source of Yulei Nochrim was not a Kavachomer. It was a Memasino. So we're getting all geared up what the Ran's going to tell us. So let's guess what we think the Ran's going to tell us. We know that the Ran holds a Maseches Nedarim, that even Memasinos are subject to Ein Onshin Din Adin. So we're expecting that the Ran's going to say the same pismo, the same story, that Ein Onshin Din Adin for Kavachomet, Ein Onshin Din Adin for Memasinos, and great and wonderful. So let's get all ready. Rabbi Akiva, Nami, the Gemara, Binyanav, in this case, it's similar to a Memetzinu. The Gulei of the Kham, Ein Lokin Alav. You know why? We're in for a disappointment. Now, Leithu Ela Asay says, Ran, you know why there's no Malkus for eating Tam Ke'ikar? If you hold that Tam Ke'ikar is derived from Kasher and Kalim? Because the Torah never says, Allah Shalom. The Torah never says, Vedav Hashem Moshe Lemar, it's usher to use Treif Apak. It doesn't say that. What the Torah does say is, if you have a tray of pot, kasher it. That's an assay. That's a positive statement. The general rule is, you don't get malchus unless it says the magic word no. If it doesn't say lo, then there's no malchus. So the Ran said, the reason why there's no malchus for Tam Kikar, it depends what the source for Tam Kikar is. in the source, the Tam Hikar is Nazir, then the reason why there's no Malkus is because Eino Shem and Adin, it was a Kalvachomer territory. If the source for Tam Kikar is Gilei Nachrim, then the reason why there's no Malkus is because it's only a Naseh. Let's be Medayik, not so much what the Ran did say, but what he didn't say. What didn't the Ran just say straight, plain, and simple that even though Gilei Nachrim is a Mematzinu, Eino Shem and Adin applies to Mematzinu, like he himself said in Masechet Nedarim. It appears from the Ran in Masechet Chulin that the Ran's opinion in Chulin at least is being presented. No, in Ohn Shimon Adin applies to a Kal Vachomer, does not apply to a Mematzinu, which would make us a little bit uneasy about this because it would be almost a contradiction in the Ran. So the truth is, I don't know the answer to this question. If the Ran in one place is clearly saying Mematzinu and Kal Vachomer are all the same and they're all subject to Ohn Shimon Adin, whereas in Masechet Chulin, the Ran is searching for other reasons why there's no Malkus, and he didn't say the simple reason that he established for Kal Vachomer, seems to be indicated the other direction. So the answer took us a day and a half of Shia to come to the realization. We want to know, bottom line, is Eino Shem Adin apply to Mematzinu? The answer is, sorry, is that the Steven Ran? The Ran in one place says yes, one place says no. I don't know the answer to this Ran.
You just said it's a stronger answer.
Okay, so you. That's what my Tamid and Shepherd me in Yeshiva. When I present this Ran, so the Tamid said, oh, come on, Rabbi, the Ran didn't mean the other reason was no good. He just said, the Eidish Lom is an even better reason. Maybe.
But Eino Shem
Adin
doesn't get off the ground because
there's
no mouth.
You mean because it's an essay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if we did apply.
Okay. So I'll tell you why I'm a little weary with that Teret, because the Rashba is almost verbatim, word for word, like the Ran, and the Rashba says the reasons of Eino Shem Adin for both. He doesn't address the essay part. The Rashba had no qualms, he had no hesitation to say the reason of Eino Shem Adin, if you really truly believe that Eino Shem Adin applies to Mematzinus as well, and it would have been so easy for the Ran to say that, and the Ran somehow veered off. Okay, maybe you're right, maybe there's no theory in Ran, it's possible, but again, it's food for thought. So let's sum up what we have for now. We have a Mishnah Bava Kamma, and the Mishnah is clearly going right and left and deriving one to another, and we're trying to figure out why is the Mishnah doing it? How does the Mishnah have the right to do such a thing? The Tosfos said, in Nefashos, in Malkus, we never would have done such a thing. We never would have pulled off such a stunt. But this is Mamanus. This is a different sugya. This is a different sense. Bava Kamma, it's not Sanhedrin. So it's okay what we're doing. So we're not sure why this Tosfos have to justify what we're doing. We're not even sure what we're doing would have been illegitimate even in the Nefashos, even in the Malkus. So what are we doing in Bava Kamma debate? Are we really doing Kal Vachomer? Not really. We're really doing Mematzinus. So it appears that Tosfos is assuming, that Sharma are assuming, that even Mematzinus are potentially problematic of Eino Shem Adin. Now again, at the end of the day, Mamanus is fine. At the end of the day, we're not going to lose too much sleep. Lose a lot of sleep because it's early in the morning. We're not going to lose too much sleep over this Tosfos, because at the end of the day, it's okay what we're doing because it's only Mamanus. But again, it is something that to take note of, that whether or not the principle of Eino Shem Adin spills over to Mematzinus or not, seems to be a little bit unclear in our Mishnah. Seems to be getting different vibes from the Rishonim themselves, and even within the same Rishon, they live in the Ran, we're getting different impressions about this. But now let's take the sugya one step further, because at the end of the day, Tosfos proved that, at least from the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, in fact, Mamanus is different, and we do have the ability to be Ma'anish Min Adin. However, let's take a look back at the Tosfos again, back to the second of the Ma'amar Kamma. But Tosfos made their observation. But Tosfos says, Tzatz Kosher, the Mashma the Onshin Mamun Min Adin. But now Tosfos goes on to say, wait a second. Although it seems to be the case in the Mishnah of Bava Kamma, we're invoking Kal Vachomer and Mematzinus and we're being Onshin Mamun Min Adin, not everybody seems to agree that Mamunus are acceptable to be Onshin Mamun Min Adin. Not only does not everybody seem to agree, there are Tanoim who seem to disagree. Which Tanoim? The Tanoim in the Mechilta. The Mechilta was written by the Tanoim. It's the Peyush Halacha on Sefer Shmot. The Mechilta is the following comment. The Tosfos continues in the first line, back to the second Maamar. Well, Mechilta Tanya, we learned the Brayse of the Mechilta. Ki yiftach v'chi yichra. Torah says that if a person either opens up a pit, namely he didn't dig the pit, it was there already, but it was covered, and he uncovers the pit. Or he digs the pit himself. The Torah says, ki yiftach yishbor, ki yichra yishbor. Somebody in the animal falls in and gets hurt. Bala boy shalem. So the owner is the person who who uncovered the pit or the person who dug the pit has to pay. So he asked the Mechilta the following question. Why does it have to give both cases? Isn't it obvious? The Torah says that you didn't even dig the pit and you're still responsible because you uncovered it. Kavachom, if you went to the street, you took a shovel and you dug a hole in the middle of the street, of course you're going to be chayav. What's the shovel? It's a what? A kavachom. It comes in the Chilta and says, Akasha on the Torah. Why does the Torah have to say the seemingly superfluous phrase of digging a pit? I could have known it all on my own. Says the Mechilta, tells us, quote, the reason why the Torah went out of its way to write both is because I could not have derived from a Kavachomer. Not because the Kavachomer is not a logical Kavachomer, it is logical, but ain't Mon Shem Min Adin would apply even though this is only Mamonis. The Torah says, later said, this Mechilta is flying in the face of our Mishnah. The first Mishnah of a Kavachomer is assuming that the Mamonis, you can do whatever you want. Mamonis, that's a different parasha, different area of halacha. Onshin mamanadin, kavachomer, so everything can be derived in mamanis. And now Tosfos is backpedaling, saying, wait a second, the Mechilta doesn't seem to say that. So Tosfos says, well, we're not going to lose too much sleep over the Mechilta. Because the Miyu B'Perek Par, Tosfos continues, Darshal Adrash Acharina. In our Gemara, in Talmud Bavli, the Gemara asks the same question as the Mechilta, why the superfluous phrase? And the Bavli gives a different answer. So Seth tells us it would appear that the Machloek is HaTanoim. The Tanoim and the Mechilta, they're entitled to their opinion, but they seem to be disagreeing with the Tanoim in Bava Kamma. They seem to be disagreeing with the Amoraim in Bava Kamma. It seems to be an age-old Machloek is going back, way, way, way back to the days of the Tanoim, whether by Mamonis, Ein Shem Min Adin, or by Mamonis, Ein Shem Min Adin. Just to make the matter even a little bit clearer, so we take a look back at the tenth of the Mamakamos now, back where it left off. The Tosfos only quoted one source, only one half of the Mechilta. There's another statement in the Mechilta that also bears out the idea that the Mechilta's view, the Tanaim of the Mechilta's view was that Ein Ein Shem Min Adin apply to Mamonis. This is quoted in the Gilna Shasra of Kiveger, the tenth of the Mamakamos. The Chen Old the Mechilta Bash Mishpat. There's another part of the Mechilta Tosfos didn't even reference. The Pasuk of Tevacho O Mecharo. The Torah says that if I steal somebody's animal, I steal your ox, and then I either shecht your ox or I sell your ox, I'm caught, I have to pay five times the amount. It's called dalal behei, four times for a sheep, five times for an ox. Tvicho mechira. So the Mechilta asks the following question. If I'm chayev to pay this penalty for shechting, how much more so should I be chayev for selling? What's the kavachomer? So apparently the Mechilta has understood that when I shechted your ox, at least the ox is here. So when Beis Din catches me and I have to return it, at least you get something out of it. Whereas by Mechira, we don't know where it went. I sold it off somewhere and it was 1,000 miles from here. The person's never going to get his ox back. So apparently the Mechilta understood, again, what could argue with that premise? The Mechilta understood that it's almost a kavachomer. So again, the same style of question. Why does the Torah say no? Why can't I figure out logically if I'm chayef for shechting, kavachomer I'm chayef for selling? Do you know what the Mechilta answers? Same question, same answer. Ela she'ein on Shem Min Adin. The Mechilta says the same pizmon, the same answer, that guess what? You can't punish somebody based on a kavachomer, even though this is not an onesh aguf, this is only cash, it's only paying money. Sorry, we can't take money away from you based on a kavachomer. Oh, okay, you're already into the Rashba. You're already giving the Rashba's answer, the Rashba's refutation of this riot. Very good. So at this point, we've collected a lot of data. We collected our mission on Beis and Aleph. That seems to be saying that by Mominus is different. Ein Shem Min Adin, you can make a guy pay money and we have no problems. Ein Shem Min Adin, by Mominus. We have a Mechilta that's disagreeing, that we suspect is against the Mishnah. Now we have another Mechilta, which Rikivega discovered, that also seems to be against the Mishnah. We seem to have a Machlokes here. It seems to be a Machlokes developing in front of our eyes. Is an Onesh Mammon similar to an Onesh Aguf vis-a-vis the din of Ein Onesh Min Adin? So how would we begin to analyze this? So all we've done for the last 2 days, I should say all for a lot last 2 days, but what we've really done is we've collected all the facts. We haven't really asked to analyze, to understand why the Shudda should not be true. In Svara, in Lomdus, what should the din be? Should the din be Onshin Mammon Min Adin, or should the din be Ein Onesh Mammon Min Adin? So Chora, the only way to answer that question properly is you can't start by asking the question, what should it be by Mamonis? You have to go back to the drawing board, go back to the ABCs. why is there a principle of Einol Shved in the first place? If you understand what the mechanics, what the parameters, why there is such a parsha of Einol Shved, at least by bodily punishment, then we can begin to get a glimpse of should those svaras carry over to Mamonis or not. So you can't just ask in a vacuum, what's it did by Mamonis? You have to first go back to the basics and ask yourself, well, what is Einol Shved? Where did it come from? What's it based on? What's the svaras? Does it make any sense, Einol Shved? And once we understand what Einol Shved is all about, then we have a fighting chance to try to see, can we apply it outside of the nefashos, outside of Malchus? Does it make any sense in terms of Mamonis? So we have to first understand what the nature of Einol Shved Din is in the first place. So the source in Chumash, Einol Shved Din, that's the Gemara Maseches Makos that highlights Pesukim in Chumash, where the Torah speaks about a person who violates one of the Averis of Gilui Arayos. The person is a Zana, does something of Gilui Arayos with his own sister. So if you look carefully in the Pesukim spell out person violating Gilui Arayos with his sister. The Torah says it almost three different times. The Torah first says he violated Gilui Arayos with his half sister, Bas Aviv, or with his other half sister, or Bas Imo. So either one is a violation of Gilui Arayos. And then the Torah says he violated Gilui Arayos with his full sister. If I already know Yechayah for half sister, why do I need to tell my full sister? He says, guess what? All your kavachomers in the world, Einol Shved Din. We couldn't have punished you. We couldn't give you Malchus. Couldn't have punished you based on a kavachomer. Well, even though she's so obvious, Einol Shved Din. So at first glance, Einol Shved Din is just a serious custom. Don't ask any kashas. But as hopefully mentioned, the signal will develop for us, which in the upcoming shiurim, we'll see that border within that. But there is some logic behind Einol Shved Din. And once we understand what the logic is, then we'll be able to give a more intelligent answer whether it should or should not carry over the Mamonis.
But if he violated with a full sister, isn't she a half sister?
Oh, very good. Oh, you're Mechavik Tazit Kasha. Mechavik Tazit, you're Vamas Avimu Eztek Kasha. Tazit says, I don't understand the Gemara. The Gemara says, Kavacham. Kavacham means when it's a new case, it's something new entity. So Tazit shows you, because the Tag Mukul was of all places, Tazit shows in Yavamas that a half sister, a brisketer, a half sister, is a different chalashim than a whole sister. A whole sister is not two halves. There's a half sister, and then there's a whole sister, and a whole sister is not a combination of two half sisters. I don't know if you have any sisters now, you want to talk to your sister about this, but chiddush. So next time you see a sister, it's a long list of one, have a few when the family relationship, the family tree of the Valiantites. But I'll come upon him, hopefully, with him next year, so we'll pick up from Mr. Kuda. What, if anything, is the svar behind Einol Shved Din? And do those svaras carry up to the Mamonis, try to put into proper perspective the issues that Tarsus is raising and the very first mission of the Eid book.